Do you need to do anything with the phone, Brian?
Tom, is it set?
Just a housekeeping item, we have members of the Greater Minnesota Press Corps on a speakerphone, so I hope everyone can hear me. I'll be happy to take questions from reporters gathered here in the room as well as, can they take them on the phone? I guess we won't. If you're on the phone and you have follow-up questions regarding our presentation today, if you could call Brian McClung or the communications office after the press conference, we'll be happy to answer your questions individually. I'd like to start today by just reflecting on the challenging year that Minnesota's had in terms of disasters. We had earlier this year some very major forest fires in northern Minnesota. We had a drought and continue to have a drought in parts of Minnesota. We had a bridge collapse, and now we have a epic flooding in southeastern Minnesota. This has visited great challenge and trauma and heartache and grief upon many of our fellow Minnesotans. And we continue to express our prayers and our thoughts of support to them. And I know people all across Minnesota are keeping them in their thoughts and prayers. But more than that, there's also a need for an outpouring of response and support in tangible ways, involving the government at all levels, involving nonprofit and charitable organizations, and everyday Minnesotans. Both as we saw with the bridge and here with the flood, there are wonderful stories of heroism and response by law enforcement and National Guard, EMTs, volunteer firefighters, everyday citizens, and it does confirm and affirm the Minnesota goodness. But there's much work to be done. The situation in southeastern Minnesota is different in scope and magnitude than many of our other disasters. Oftentimes we'll see one or two or maybe three or four communities impacted by a tornado or a flood or such. Here we have many more communities who are substantially impacted. So it presents some geographic and other challenges, but Minnesota is up to the challenge. We will rise to this occasion and rally around each other, as Minnesotans always do in these times of challenge, and we will recover and we will respond and we will rebuild, and these communities will, as one of the mayors said to me in southern Minnesota on Sunday, been here 150 years and we'll be here 150 years from now. And then he said, get me a front end loader and the rest I'll take care of myself. But a very strong statement by that mayor. I want to start today by just sharing with you some actions that we took this afternoon relative to requesting that the president declare a disaster area for southeastern Minnesota, thereby formally engaging the federal mechanism, the federal response. Typically, how this works is that the FEMA folks come in and do an inventory of preliminary damage. Once they determine that certain damage levels have been met, even though their final inventory or full inventory isn't complete, they certify that to our office, and then we submit the request to the president. In this case, I'm not waiting for that. Preliminary damage assessment, or PDA, is not complete, nor have they yet formally certified or indicated that the thresholds on either the public damage side or the private damage side has yet been met. But I have spent two full days and parts of evenings in southeastern Minnesota. I'm convinced that those thresholds will be met, and so I have sent already a request for a disaster declaration to the president and asking for his prompt response and consideration of this request. I had a chance to discuss this with him yesterday directly. He indicated on behalf of the federal government that they would respond as promptly as possible. As a technical matter, I believe they have up to 30 days, but I believe and hope that they would do this much, much, much more quickly and urgently than that. As I said, FEMA officials are in southeastern Minnesota doing the inventory, but the more helpful thing would be for the caseworkers and others to be on the ground to begin the process of customizing the response for individual citizens as well as the local units of government that will need additional help. So that's on its way, and we hope will be met with a prompt and positive response from the president in very short order. The magnitude of the response, or I should say the response, recovery, and rebuilding needs in southeastern Minnesota are very substantial. We have, as you know, damaged roads, damaged bridges, damaged sewer systems, damaged parks, damaged sanitation systems in some cases on the public side. And then, of course, we have hundreds and thousands of private homes that have varying degrees of damage from total destruction down the continuum to wet basements and everything in between. The inventory and the counting of that damage is still underway, but we know that several hundred homes are totally destroyed. Several hundred more have very substantial or major damage, and then there are several thousand that have various degrees of damage beyond that. So these homeowners, as you know, in many cases, most cases, do not have flood insurance. So they're going to need some help in addition to the local units of government needing help in meeting the needs of the response and the recovery and the rebuilding. One of the things that is taking place, of course, is the Red Cross always plays a critical role in responding, at least as first responders, in these events. They're doing so here again. I just spoke to the Red Cross officials here in the state, and we're talking to some of their national officials about sending in some additional help. We've had a couple of areas where they need some reinforcements, and so that's on its way as well. We also just concluded a meeting with the legislative leaders, including Speaker Kelleher and Majority Leader Pogemiller, House Majority Leader Tony Sertich, Senator Terrell Clark from St. Cloud, Minority Leader Seifert, Minority Leader Senjum, and various staff. And so that was a good meeting. It was a long meeting, but we have reached some general understandings about the need for a special session and how that would be helpful. I've asked the legislative leaders to come together and reach some understanding so that we could set a date and move forward with the special session. While there's still some details to be worked out, I think it's headed in the right direction. The gist of the discussion was, in light of all of what's happened, that we would best serve the state and would be most helpful to the citizens who need our help to meet as quickly as possible, but to focus on any remaining items from the bridge. If you're interested, and I can go through all of that again, but I think most of you have been through the discussion about how the bridge rebuilding and recovery process is being paid for. There may be some modest items around that that is substantially taken care of at the moment through federal funds, but if there may be some miscellaneous items there that would be helpful to address. But also, and now as urgently and more broadly, the need to address flood relief in various forms. Now, again, I'm very confident that this will be FEMA eligible, which means that for the public infrastructure, there's a 75-25 arrangement where the federal government will pay for 75% of the public infrastructure that needs to be repaired or replaced as a result of the storm, and then the non-federal share is 25%. And that could come from the state or other sources, but in this case, most likely the state. So we have to deal with that when it's due, and you know, that needs to cash flow in terms of the needs of the local units of government. There's going to be significant need for housing relief for the citizens of southeastern Minnesota. FEMA, as Chris Eide, and I'll introduce her more formally in just a moment, can tell you, does have, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding that FEMA only helps with public infrastructure. They do have a private property program as well. And so once this gets formally certified by the federal government, they establish the 1-800 numbers. Homeowners call into the 1-800 number, register their situation with FEMA. FEMA has meetings generally, but they try to get to each homeowner and customize a response in conjunction with our housing finance agency people about what might be needed. That will vary from homeowner to homeowner, but from the FEMA program in general, it could include low-interest loans. It could include loans that are due and payable only at the time of sale of the property. It could include grants. There's some caps and some qualifiers that go into each of those programs. Our intent would be to, in addition to the FEMA programs, use some existing state housing finance agency programs and some wraparound programs that would be developed to address the unique needs of this particular situation so the state could help supplement what FEMA does in this case. There are many, many other issues that will need to be addressed. We also talked a little bit about a bonding bill that would be focused on flood recovery needs and transportation needs in prioritized order. And then we also talked generally about some other accounts that could be set up or programs that could be set up in the general category of flood relief. I think that will be important. But in general, the meeting with legislative leaders was good. It was constructive. We've got a commitment to try to refine and define these things a little further between their committee chairs and some of our leads and commissioners. Hopefully that can be done in the coming days, get some understandings and agreements in place, and then move forward with the session. It's my hope that we can do that, and anticipate the legislative leaders will be back in a couple of days or a few days to report back on the progress of those discussions, and hopefully we'll have a more concrete date or plan for you at that time. Now, with that, I'd like to introduce Chris Eide, who is the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. She's the person here at the state level who has access to and coordinates all of the agencies and is in contact with all the agencies who are responding to this very large challenge. And I'd like to have her give you an update, and then we'll take your questions.
Thank you, Governor. We're in the process right now of working with the Federal Emergency Management Agency to conduct a preliminary damage assessment, even though the governor has requested the president to do an expedited declaration. So they're still doing the inventory of property and the damage, as the governor had mentioned. We're also coordinating in the State Emergency Operations Center with the locals to determine what is it that they need to speed their recovery along. We're getting them help through mutual aid. We're helping them out as state agencies. We're trying to educate the folks that live in that area on really how to clean up. We want to make sure that they know how to apply for FEMA assistance. So as soon as the declaration comes through, the 1-800 number will be available for the people that live in that area to register for assistance. So we're continuing to stay on top of it and make sure that they get their immediate housing needs met in particular. Shelters are not the place for people to live for more than a day or two, and we want to make sure that those remaining people are out of that shelter, in with families, hotels, motels, or short-term rentals. That's where our focus right now is continuing to get the cleanup moving and really work on getting as speedy a recovery as we possibly can.
Thank you, Chris. And I think, I don't know if you said this, but the number of people in shelters is fluctuating a little bit by the day or the hour as people either find places or have needs and it changes. But in general, there's 60 to 75 people who are sheltered. The Red Cross is working with, in this case, FEMA and others to make sure those remaining 75 or so are placed in the type of at least interim housing that Chris just described, and that needs to get done as quickly as possible, obviously. So with that, we'll be happy to take your questions.
Governor, does there seem to be, after this meeting, any serious sticking points or roadblocks between the two sides that really need to get hammered out?
Oh, I think, you know, we've this meeting was preceded by exchange of letters and some other communications, so we had it somewhat defined and refined before the meeting started. There seems to be general agreement by category or concept, general description, so I'd say that's favorable. We've got to put a little more detail on that. That we talked about a comprehensive transportation package, which I'm willing to explore with as part of this special session and hopefully get done. You know, my hope is that we can find common ground and move that forward as well. If not, we'll have to tackle it in February, but at least as much of that as possible I think would serve the state well, and I'd like to do that. But that's going to be a one of the larger things to tackle. The other things, you know, each one will present some issues, but doing a flood relief and road and bridge bonding bill is, you know, not particularly challenging, and getting these accounts set up for housing and financial reimbursement for the cities and counties, I mean, that's, I think, pretty straightforward, so hopefully that can get done quickly.
Should we report that a special session is likely possible?
I like the word likely, Eric. It's it would be helpful. I think it's needed, and I think it's likely. Now, again, my hope and precondition is that we get some agreements and understandings in place before then, and I told the legislators I'll call it as soon as we have that, and that could come quite quickly. We had originally talked about not doing it before Labor Day, and that was before the flood. But candidly, we still have an evolving and dynamic situation. We want to make sure you get a good handle on at least the preliminary needs. So we need a little time to get that into focus anyhow. I think I don't want to speak for the legislative leaders. I think they're we would find some agreement probably around early, mid-September. In the meantime, we have some emergency funds we can use.
Governor, how about a tax bill? Property tax relief, local May, do you want that? Is that on the table
today? I do, in the sense that I think the focus for the session should be transportation, roads and bridges in priority order with particular emphasis on safety needs. In addition, and equally important, is now the flood relief elements that I just described. And if there are a few other things that I think are important would be helpful, we could put those in as well. And that's why I've signaled bonding with a focus on flood relief and transportation. And I'm open to do the property tax relief as well. It probably wouldn't be, at least in my view, the full-blown tax bill, but at least the elements that we can quickly agree on and process.
Governor, having seen this yourself, and you've indicated there's some urgency to this, will you explain to us what the advantage is of not waiting for the damage assessment to be completed and what advantage it would be for the public?
Yes, I can. That's probably more information than you want, Pat. And I'm going to go back down on Friday, spend the day Friday checking back in and making sure we are moving forward and have a good handle on the situation. I talked to all the sheriffs today or in the three counties that are most impacted, I should say. Again, there's a response mode, there's a recovery mode, and there's a rebuilding mode. The response, as I described it, comes from the EMTs, the first responders, the National Guard. That's a state and local element. The recovery, or I should say the response mode in terms of people in immediate danger, missing, search and rescue type activities are mostly done. There's costs incurred that comes with that. Most of that will be FEMA eligible, but we'll have to pick up some of that. In the rebuilding phase, that's where FEMA can help a lot and does help a lot, but they won't typically come in on the ground unless they have this presidential declaration. The normal process is they come in, they do an inventory, and tell you when you've hit, when their review of it hits certain thresholds. They certify that to me. I send it to the president. I believe we have enough latitude, and I've seen enough, to just jump ahead of that a bit and say, even though your PDA, or preliminary damage assessment, is not yet completed or completed to the extent that you can get those thresholds met, we're sending the letter anyhow to try to get it out a little sooner. And normally they were signaling that they'd get that certification maybe on Friday or so. So we can move it up a few days. That will hopefully, now answering your question, gets the FEMA ground workers and caseworkers here hopefully sooner.
Governor, how insistent are you going to be that a gas tax be offset by other reductions around?
You know, I've authorized one of my lead staff members to meet with whoever the legislative leaders designate on the comprehensive transportation package. My hope is we can find a common ground in between what was my position and what was their position. Kind of, I've described it as a midpoint, and I hope that we can do that.
You spoke about a preference for a temporary increase in gasoline taxes. Can you describe what you mean by temporary?
Well, I said, Lori, I think you may be referring to a letter that you're not supposed to have, but in an August 10th letter, which we, you know, agreed to keep private, but somehow many reporters got a hold of it. It's a public document anyhow, but the I said, as they were soliciting my ideas and suggestions, so we listed a number of them, and I said, as to the gas tax increase, be my preference, emphasis preference, that some or all of it would be temporary, or some or all of it might be offset by some tax relief for low and moderate income Minnesotans. So you could see a scenario where if there were a gas tax increase, you try to do some part of it be catch up, and then maybe part of it is not needed forever. So that's just a concept or idea that we had put out there to get the discussion rolling. I'm sorry? You know, we didn't get into that level of detail. And again, what I've committed to legislative leaders is I will sincerely and in good faith and aggressively try to find some common ground with them on this issue. We need to as a state. And again, it was something we were talking about at least conceptually before all of this happened. And I hope we can just take where I was on some of these issues, where they were at the end of session, and find a midpoint.
Are you getting much pushback from other Republicans about the idea of
going
to a gas tax?
Some, yeah. Well, it's hard to quantify, but, you know, they're not all that excited about it.
Governor, how do you scale to these various components need to be before you're willing to summon all of your staff?
I think it's important, Brian, that in the interest of the state, that we have some at least general agreement about how long the session's going to last, what the topics are that's going to be covered, at least the elements of the bills, you know, what's going to be in, at least in outline form, and what things we're not going to bring in beyond that, and try to move forward promptly and productively and constructively, and not have it go on forever or cover, you know, 10 things unrelated to the current issues.
Do you think you're days or weeks away from having those key agreements in place?
You know, I, from my standpoint, with the one or two exceptions, it could probably be done really quickly. I know those elements on the flood relief, I think, are not overly complicated. We could put those together pretty quickly. But, you know, we're looking at probably mid-September kind of time frame, or maybe sooner if they can do it. The commitment with legislative leaders is that they'll get to work on this with our staff, and we'll reconvene in a couple days. And if it turns out that they have worked it out or we've worked it out, we could do it much sooner perhaps. Yes, but we need to stay on it, Eric. There's more than just the FEMA role. We got local law enforcement, you know, county, city, state responsibilities and roles. You could imagine waking up Sunday morning or so and finding your house destroyed and not having insurance, not having a place to stay, maybe have children, other people that you need to accommodate, and you may not have relatives in the area that can immediately take you in. So there's a lot of issues here, and if you don't have insurance, FEMA has been, besides Katrina, helpful in many of our other Minnesota disasters. You know, and they've come in and within a matter of weeks have sat down with homeowners, have kind of made some adjustments, made their programs available, and it's helped. It's not going to be in, you know, 30 minutes, but in the next few weeks they will get this done. In the meantime, it's going to be the Red Cross's job and our job to make sure people are safe and have a place to stay, and, you know, we can get them to the point where FEMA and these state programs can get the rebuilding process underway.
Governor, we just have time for one last question.
Governor, do you have any limits on what you would accept in a transportation package? Do you accept $2 billion? Do you accept 20-cent gas tax increase? Tell us.
I didn't set those limits with legislative leaders nor with my staff. What we've committed to is we'd like to get a comprehensive transportation package, recognizing it's not going to be all of what I want, and hopefully they would recognize it's not going to be all how they want it, and we would find a midpoint and get it done. But we didn't draw lines in the sand on around this or that.
I didn't ask what you told them. I asked what your limits are.
That's what we're going to work out in the discussion.
You're open to it. Is that right?
We want to approach the discussions in good faith and in compromise, and with all due respect, I don't think it's helpful to negotiate it with you.
Governor, what happens if there's no special session? What happens to the people in southeastern Minnesota? What happens to bridge repair? What happens if you all can't come to an agreement?
Well, it'll be potentially different for the bridge versus the flood. But I think it's important that we move forward and address these issues. I think it would be helpful. We can bring a lot of additional resources to bear if we get legislative action. I think it would be helpful.
But if you don't have one between now and February, how imperative is it that you have special sessions to deal with?
I think it would be very helpful, and it's important.
All right. How long
okay.
would it be?
I'm sorry?
How many days would you like it to be?
From my standpoint, I think it should be a day. Okay, thanks.